It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome into the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road, fresh off day number two of the SEC tournament here in Nashville. Rex Road, how we doing? Are we surviving? What's going on?
Doing good. Doing all right. Great. Great hoops, that's for sure. Wish, Oklahoma, Kentucky. Wish that one wasn't so late, but great game.
Yep, it was a late night last night. No doubt about that. Kieser, good morning. How are you?
All by my lonesome, but I'm doing great, guys. Glad to be with us this morning.
Wow, what a lonely time for Nick Kieser today on the program. Speaking of the SEC tournament, by the way, tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game for updates of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament today, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. Rex Road, I mean, this is your time of year, baby. Just a lot of good basketball going on out there. You're the nation's leading bracketologist. This is your time to shine.
Right, yeah, nation's leading bracketologist. Yeah, it's tell you what, doing a daily bracket off this stuff is it's interesting. I guess I kind of understand why most people who do this only do this. So, although I guess that's not always true. That's something that's all Lenardi does. I guess DeCourcy does it for the Sporting News. So, but it's pretty time consuming, I got to say.
Yeah, I can see where it might be. We will get deep into the SEC tournament a little bit later in the show. The Vols in action today as well as they continue to try to hunt down a one seed in the NCAA tournament. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Normally joined by Stilly on Friday mornings at 7 o'clock. He joined us yesterday. So if you missed that, check it out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. And Joe, one name that Stilly did bring up yesterday was Brandon Allen, and he is now the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. Brandon Allen has agreed to a one-year deal at the quarterback position with Tennessee, which I think, Joe, points to him being the backup quarterback, or at least being in competition to be the backup quarterback when they draft Cam Ward. We'll get into the Cam Ward part of this here in just a few minutes with some interesting comments that Charles Robinson had on our program yesterday. But right now, the quarterback room for the Titans as we sit here today on March the 14th is Brandon Allen and Will Levis. And I was watching Kuharski's live stream of his podcast that he does when this news came out, Joe. And just the look of total disgust on his face of the signing of Brandon Allen was something to behold. PK, not a big fan of the Brandon Allen signing.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So this is Jared says he likes it. I mean, it's a backup, you know. I don't know. What do we really have to go on with this guy?
Not a ton. I mean, he has gotten in and started some games and it hasn't gone well, but that's typically the story when the backup quarterback gets in and plays games.
I mean, it is funny to me, like, and I saw you tweeted this about Mason Rudolph. Like, it appears that the Titans did try to re-sign him.
Yes.
The Steelers want him back. They got him back. I mean, I understand, like, we've seen a lot of Mason Rudolph, and he's not a starter. So, you know, yeah, no, you know, you don't want Mason. How anybody would be more excited about Brandon Allen as your backup than Mason Rudolph? Again, that's just because you don't have the information. If he had had the same opportunities, it very well could be a lot worse than what we've seen from Mason Rudolph, right? But, I mean, it's a backup quarterback. I mean, for a bad team. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now there's the thought that from some that I saw yesterday, Joe, that it could be Brandon Allen and Will Levis in competition for the backup spot. Like, to me, this just kind of tells you that Will Levis is probably going to be out of here. That's the way I view it. Like, Brandon Allen has been with Brian Callahan before, and Brandon Allen is kind of like your veteran. He's 32. He's been around. You know, I think, you know, he's not Joe Flacco, or he's not, you know, the second coming of Tom Brady out there that's been a starting quarterback in the league for a while, that has all this wealth of knowledge of all these games that he started, that can pass along that information to your quarterback that you draft coming up at number one overall. But, like, to me, I read this yesterday as, oh, okay, so Brandon Allen is going to be like the mentor for when Cam Ward comes in, and we'll see if Will Levis is either on the team or if they ship him off by the time training camp rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of that mind too. I mean, I guess I could see it playing out, however, with Will Levis, but then it gets into, because, you know, there was some talk of Wentz too, you know, but I guess if as it appears to be, the plan is to draft this quarterback, then I don't know. I don't know enough about Brandon Allen. I guess I would think that, like, someone a little more experienced might be a little better as QB2 with the rookie quarterback. But again, I can't sit here and pretend like I know other than what he's done or hasn't done on the field much about Brandon Allen.
No, I can't either. And look, there are some that still in the immediate aftermath of this thought, oh gosh, they're going with Will Levis. Like, Will Levis is going to be the starting quarterback again next year. And we're going to get to some comments from Charles Robinson on our show here in just a few minutes about that. I don't understand why that's becoming more and more like a thought with Titans fans. Like, just pay attention to some of the things that Brian Callahan and the front office have said. Like, Will Levis is not going to be starting quarterback for this team next year. I guess I could be wrong, and I could just be totally misreading the situation, but it seems pretty clear to me that they're done with Will Levis.
Yeah, I think that's been made, you know, like, gently, not, you know, they're not going to come out and say that, but I think that's been made pretty clear. You know, Brian Callahan's asked about him, and he'll say, like, he's working hard and all that. Of course, I mean, every single player in this organization under contract, you hope that they have a great offseason, that they're better coming back next year. But yeah, it's pretty obvious. You could string together, I mean, I don't know, has someone done that? You can string together all the comments from the offseason, then do little swooshes between them, and you would have a pretty clear picture of, you know, Will Levis not being the starting quarterback next year. I guess, yeah, I guess the competition for a backup, but I don't know. To me, when you go draft a Cam Ward, it's better, I think, for all parties, just for your guy, the last guy that you just hoped would be your franchise quarterback to be somewhere else.
I agree. I totally agree. You brought up Mason Rudolph. So he signs a 2-year, $8 million deal with the Steelers. And this is what Mike Garafolo yesterday put out there. He said, Rudolph mulled multiple offers, including a return to the Titans, but was motivated to head back to Pittsburgh. I mean, he talked about having offers. Like, offers is different than interest. So offers, including a return to the Titans, but was motivated to head back to Pittsburgh. So number one, like, Mason Rudolph back in Pittsburgh, where I guess they're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers. Like, first off, is this not the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever, to, like, just hold this entire thing up the last 4 days like he has? And secondly, I guess it's going to be, if he does decide to go there, the Aaron Rodgers QB1, Mason Rudolph QB2 show.
Yeah, I guess. And so if he doesn't, then it's Russ and Rudolph?
Ugh, I guess.
I guess. I mean,
Jameis still out there.
Hey, there's some Steelers fans who have texted us, you know, last year, who swear that Mason Rudolph should have been their starter, you know. So, I mean, maybe some of that faction will be happy today in Pittsburgh. But yeah, again, you look at the deal he signed. I mean, he's a fine backup. I mean, he had some bad plays with the Titans last year, for sure. So, you know, I get in line. What's that?
Get in line. A lot of people did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would have been, you know, I mean, look, I think he would have been a better choice at backup than Brandon Allen, but, you know, some of that, again, is like, you've got to be thinking in terms of helping your rookie quarterback that you're drafting, right? Unless that's not happening.
Well, let me tell you, if that's not happening, at this point, I've gotten to, if they're not drafting Cam Ward, look at that quarterback room right now. It's going to be a long year next year. Well, we can go ahead and start beginning the conversation of the number one overall pick in 2026 if they're not drafting a quarterback right now.
Yeah, and, you know, drafting the quarterback, who knows how good they'll be. But, I mean, obviously, completely changes everything in terms of interest and at least having hope. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like the events of recent weeks have swung them in that direction. It's hard to explain what we've seen here in free agency any other way.
Yep. I got one text that says, with the free agent signings we've had so far, I do not see Brian Callahan surviving after this year. And I think that's unfair. We'll see. I mean, they have revamped the offensive line. We'll see how effective the revamping of the offensive line ends up being. But again, that's where, like, if you draft the quarterback, then that's where the evaluation changes on everybody, right? Like, it's okay, well, you've got the new franchise quarterback. What sort of steps would he take from the beginning of the season in year one to the end of the season, and how does that affect Brian Callahan? Because, look, I do think if you're drafting a quarterback, what you don't really want to have happen is to have him come in and play in year one and then immediately fire the coach and then go hire another coach and another system for him in year two. Not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it's probably not ideal.
No, it's what bad franchises like the Chicago Bears do over and over again.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you know, if this is if how it looks is how it's going to be, then I think that if you see enough promise from the quarterback, there's other parts of it too. I mean, you know, Brian Callahan has even talked about how he wants to be, you know, maybe a little more involved in other aspects and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, it's the entirety of the product. But I think if Cam Ward, if that's who they draft, I mean, again, I'm here for draft night Shedeur Sanders getting the call. That'd be the meltdown from some that would ensue. But if the quarterback looks good or at least promising, then that to me kind of takes the bottom line off Callahan, or at least I think it should. Again, unless everything else is just so bad that, like, he's just not a CEO, and that's what they determine, you know. But I feel like this gives him the quarterback development. That's, again, the big selling point with him as a potential demonstration next season.
Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So that was pretty much my point, I think, what you were alluding to, Joe. To me, and maybe it's wishful thinking, boy, I got to think that Callahan's got more rope with Cam Ward, because a smart franchise, how would you draft your rookie franchise quarterback and only give him 1 year in a system knowing you got a lame duck coach? It just doesn't make sense to me. So I don't know if it's just wishful thinking or logics, but you got to give this for the benefit of the kid. Don't you got to give Callahan 2 years and give the kid 2 years, barring a catastrophe next year? I think it's got to mean a little more rope for Callahan, in my opinion.
Thanks for the call, Ed. Appreciate it. I think I agree with that, Joe, from the standpoint of barring a catastrophe. And then we get into, okay, well, what's a catastrophe? Like, if they're 3-14 again next year, is that a catastrophe? What? How does it look on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, are they 3-14? But, you know, how is it? Obviously, like, did they fix the offensive line? Are they 3-14, and they didn't do enough on defense, but their offense looks better? The quarterback shows promise. They're scoring points. You know, they're in a bunch of close games. You know, they obviously have to have another big offseason and focus on the other side of the ball. I mean, there's so many different ways. It's living through the experience, you know, I agree with Ed. Like, I mean, organizationally, that's how they should be looking at it, right? I mean, if you're looking at it like some on the outside are, like Callahan's just a lame duck coach, then I think you're already doing a disservice to your quarterback.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. Some interesting comments from Charles Robinson on our show on the Cam Ward front yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I started the process. I would have told you I thought, based on conversations I had had coming out of the combine, that potentially they were leaning away from Cam Ward. But, you know, they signed Dan Moore, and I think that's shifted, honestly. I really do. I think it's shifted for, you know, Cam Ward's camp. I think it's shifted for when you look at just how the Titans have prepared, conversations that I had after the Moore signing, which were just, look, they're not going out and adding a tackle at that financial price point to protect an old guy next year. They're not doing it to protect Will Levis next year. What's sort of materialized for me over the last few days is just that, you know, the Levis experience is really over there. There's no veteran out there that they're fishing around with right now. And that, if anything, when you talk to, you know, Cam Ward's corner of the planet, it's just, okay, I'm going to end up in Tennessee right now, or they're going to deal me, they're going to deal the top overall pick to the Giants, and I'm going to be a Giant. I think that's really how Cam Ward's camp's approaching this right now. That's the two teams that he's really looking at. And of those two teams, the setup sure as heck looks like it's the Titans that are preparing to take him at that number one overall pick.
That's Charles Robinson on with us yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. Really good stuff from Charles, as there is every week here on the program. Check it out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. So, Joe, he was talking about Cam Ward, the Titans, and said yesterday that, you know, after the combine, if he was forced to guess, he probably would have thought that the Titans weren't going to be in on Cam Ward and that Cam Ward was going to be somewhere else. And he feels like there's been a shift on that over the past few weeks here. And that Cam Ward, obviously, when you look at what the Titans have done so far in free agency and the lack of aggression of pursuit of a, you know, some veteran stopgap quarterback to come in and be your starter, combined with what he said there in that clip of, from people he's talked to, he feels like the Will Levis part of this is over in Tennessee. Like, everything is adding up right now to Cam Ward being number one overall. So, first off, what did you make of what Charles had to say on our show yesterday and kind of the process that he went through of where he feels like the Titans could be with Cam Ward right now? And how do you view, I guess, a question that some Titans fans have thrown out there? Like, is it a little too obvious? Like, does it look too obvious that the Titans are about to take Cam Ward at number one overall?
I mean, I guess, but again, like, what's the alternative? I just don't see how anybody's signing up for, I mean, you know, Borgonzi and his two guys he brought in are brand new, but so I guess, like, you could talk long-term. Chad Brinker's tried to sell long-term publicly, and I guess to Amy, but I don't see how you try to trot this product out without, I mean, again, the rookie quarterback is probably, you know, when it comes down to it, a fan base gets energized by that. Usually it doesn't work out, but, like, you energize a fan base by that. If you, if you were to sign one of these viable veterans, okay, well, then you're a little bit more, you're just not sure that this is quite the rookie crop you want for you, but you're still trying to be competitive. One thing about Charles, I didn't totally agree with what he was saying yesterday on the, you know, like, signing Dan Moore is some signal that they're drafting a rookie. I mean, to me, you protect any quarterback you have in this league, don't you? I don't really buy that line of thinking, but obviously Charles is, that's the guesswork, I guess. Whereas obviously, and you can tell from Charles there, certainly on the Cam side of things, they feel much more now like, yeah, Tennessee is in on Cam, as opposed to previously where it was kind of like, you know, there was a lot of expectation around the league that the Titans are trying to bail out of one. And I don't think you're seeing much of that anymore. It just doesn't make any sense to me to do it, to have a terrible team and have no hope at that position next year, other than, well, there'll be better ones later. You know, I think that's a hard sell when you've gone through the seasons you just went to the last 2 years.
Well, I brought up the the odds the other day on FanDuel Sportsbook of number one, you know, Cam Ward being the guy selected at number one overall. And those odds were very high that, Cam Ward was going to be number one overall. And then you looked at like which team was going to select number one overall. The Titans were the favorite, but it was minus 155. And I want to say, Joe, we talked about that on like Tuesday of this week. Well, here we are on Friday morning, and I'm looking at the odds right now, and the Titans are minus 250 to draft number one overall. So they've gone from minus 155 to minus 250 in like 3 days here. And obviously, look, the market reacts to the other moves that are going on. It just feels like the obvious move right now is that Cam Ward is going to be a Tennessee Titan, and that's where they're going with the number one overall pick. And later in the show, we're going to get to, you know, how that could possibly affect how much they're able to add at, you know, wide receiver and other positions like that this offseason. But like the market is reacting to what's going on here too, Joe, of it's looking more and more like the Titans are number one and Cam Ward's their guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I was asking Charles yesterday about, you know, could the Giants do anything?
Right.
To if they're that, because obviously they are also in a quarterback bind right now. But man, you'd still, even then, you'd be signing up for, I guess, then in that case, there's your Levis scenario based on what we see now. You know, I guess Levis is around right now in case someone, you know, it's like, well, we just can't refuse that offer. But I feel like, you, by the time you get to, and who knows where it is now, like Charles said too yesterday, it's an important thing to keep in mind. You know, you may have someone in this organization 100% on Cam and someone else who's about 50-50, and you know, different people have different viewpoints, but you probably get so much momentum toward the idea of let's get this guy, this is the future, let's build around him, that then it's almost like you're not even thinking about offers, you know,
right,
from the Giants. I mean, at this point, they probably have a pretty decent idea of what the range would be, and you know, it may not be all that great.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
So, dude, I went to Blue Ridge Mountain, Georgia. I don't know if you guys have ever been, and I spent the better part of my week there, like while all this Titan stuff's kind of rolling in, spotty service, you would see like Dan Moore would pop in, and then Sebastian Joseph Day would pop in, and you're like, dude, you really need a mountain to help level that out. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had an opportunity to do like half vacation, half work, but like, you really need it, especially with this team. Like, I'm thinking of Cam Ward, and I'm like, dude, I'm glad we're loading him up with all these superstars. Like, give this guy a real opportunity. Like, I just feel bad for him. Like, he's supposed to be good. He could probably be good in the right situation, but we're so depleted, man. It just, I get it. When you're at the top of the draft, sometimes it happens like that, but I would figure out a different way. Find a different time to take your quarterback, man. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I feel like they've botched this. I would have done it way different. And I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to sell tickets. I went and sat through that stupid presentation. Like, you got to have something. You got to have somebody's picture to put up there, you know. But God, dude, you're giving this guy no shot, and that's the part that upsets me.
Thank you for the call, Adam. A couple of thoughts I want to get to on that, Joe, and a lot of different questions and thoughts on the Cam Ward front on the text line we'll address coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, a couple things to get to on that front, kind of reacting to Adam from Portland's call the last time out, and then a couple questions from the text line I want to get to. Like, I guess we'll see. Like, there's somebody on the text line asking about, like, we're talking about drafting best player available. How could Cam Ward possibly be best player available? Well, I don't think he is, but maybe the Titans do, right? Like, I have no idea what the Titans' evaluation of Cam Ward is. Maybe they think that he's going to be an absolute superstar. And by the way, they haven't drafted him yet, so maybe they're not going to take him. I don't know. Maybe this is a bunch of posturing, and they're trying to get the offer to go up from New York or whoever else. I it's hard for me to believe that based on the other things that they've done at quarterback right now, but maybe that is the case. You've addressed the offensive line. We talked about it heading into the offseason. It's going to be really hard, particularly if you're drafting a quarterback, to address everything adequately this offseason, right? Like, if you're drafting a quarterback at number one overall, it means you're not trading out, and at the moment you don't have a third-round pick. So you're talking a quarterback at number one. You've got the opportunity with things as they currently stand to address edge rusher or wide receiver or whatever it is at 35, and then you're not picking again to the fourth round, right? So you just there's not a ton of draft capital that you currently have at your disposal right now if you're the Titans, particularly if you're sticking and picking at number one. We talked about the free agent wide receivers in this offseason. We're going to get to that a little bit more specifically here in just a few minutes, but it's not a great free agent pool. So right now, you're looking at wide receiver, you're looking at edge rusher. There's a lot of holes on this roster. I think this was always going to be more than a one-off season fix for the entire roster here.
Yeah, exactly. I understand the idea. I highly doubt that the Titans have Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I guess we'll just stick with Cam Ward as the best player on the board. I highly doubt that. They'd be vastly different than basically anybody who studies the draft and ranks players. So they'd be like a lot of teams, though. This happens fairly often where it's like the quarterback, you got to get a quarterback. The need is there. So who's the best quarterback right now that you can get in this draft? I don't think that's a good way to go about things. Doesn't mean it won't work out. It could.
Yeah.
The Titans have really, it has not worked out in terms of drafting quarterbacks since they were the Houston Oilers, and they got Steve McNair, and they gave him basically 2 years,
yep,
you know, to sit. And that's, a comment, that I'm missing here. Here you go, from unnamed texter. Can you please explain why the trend is to throw a rookie QB out there and hope he gets it? If Callahan takes pride in developing QBs, why not draft a QB behind a veteran to let it develop, citing Green Bay as an example? Yeah, I mean, look, it's both things are happening. It's not just, yeah, that's not the only trend. I mean, the Green Bay just did it with Jordan Love. So if you can do that, I think that's great. If you can do Patrick Mahomes and have Alex Smith, I think that's great. And that's why we even talked about some of these other veterans who are actual starting level quarterbacks, being here and then still drafting a quarterback. But obviously, if this is how it's going to work out, I mean, I suppose, again, if is Levis around, is it possible that Levis, wins the starting job at the beginning of the year and then it just gets replaced? Are they, if Levis is here, what are they doing with reps in camp? They're going to give him split reps. I understand they've improved the offensive line, but I still don't think it's a great situation for a rookie quarterback.
Well, we've gotten a couple questions about why not sit? If you drafted Cam Ward, why would you not be more aggressive in the offseason of getting a quarterback in here that can play while Cam Ward sits? And I guess my reaction to that would be this. Are there examples that you can find of a quarterback sitting that it's worked out really well? Mahomes sat his first year. It's worked out pretty darn well. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. It's worked out pretty well. Jordan Love sat for 3 years, and it's been good so far. We'll see how he continues to progress. Now, look, C.J. Stroud came in and was immediately ready to play and looked awesome. Jaden Daniels came in, was immediately ready to play and looked awesome. Would Jaden Daniels have benefited from sitting? It's hard to make that argument right now based on what we saw him do in his first year. So, look, I also believe, as much as I do like the idea of your quarterback sitting and being able to kind of learn with other guys around him and not having the pressure to play immediately, we have also seen recent examples of some guys don't need that. There are some quarterbacks that come in that are immediately ready to play. Is Cam Ward that guy? I have no idea. That's where the evaluation of that part of it from the Titans comes down. A couple things on that front. You rarely see that with the first overall pick. Very rarely is the first overall pick coming in and sitting out games. And number two, like, I think there are quarterbacks, even though you're trying to project long-term what they are, I think their readiness to play in the NFL immediately, Joe, varies. Like, Jordan Love absolutely needed to sit and needed to sit for a long time. Did Mahomes absolutely need to sit? I don't know. He's talked about how beneficial that year off for him was. Jayden Daniels didn't need to sit. Like, Jayden Daniels was ready to play, clearly. So I don't know where Cam Ward fits on that scale.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be where just because of the offenses in the NFL, like, you had to sit guys, basically. I mean, you were a really, really bad franchise a couple decades ago if your rookie started, you know? It was basically very frowned upon in the NFL. And then over time, again, a lot of concepts, there's more back and forth. There's more similarities in some of the concepts. So Jayden Daniels came right in. Like you said, he was great. There are examples of rookies being able to come in. And then there's also rookies who come in and are bad.
Yeah.
But they still get better. Josh Allen, great example. He was not good. It wasn't good. They were terrible. He was bad, and it just kept getting better. But some, you worry about ruining someone's confidence, and that certainly has happened too. So there's not one size that fits all. But, I mean, yeah, here you draft him number one based on what we're looking at here. Again, even if you brought in Carson Wentz as your backup or any of the Mac Jones, all the different names that we've talked about, you could buy, like, that person starting for a few weeks if need be, even though people wouldn't have, it would have been like the Colts fans all want Anthony Richardson right away, and they got him. And now, I guess, I don't know, Indy Ben's still excited about, like, their cornerback signings or something like that. But, it didn't work out well. But, Weston Clarksville, if we draft Cam Ward and goes out there and starts to get 3 or 4 wins, we're just going to blow everything up again. If you make the decision to draft Cam Ward, understanding where you're coming from with your roster, that doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're signing up for some level of patience and bad product potentially, with the idea that you've got your guy, and then the city and the fan base can rally around that and that hope.
Well, I think you should be, but again, with this franchise has taught me to always leave the door open for some rash decisions to be made if it goes that way. Now, look, we talk about that. There's also, like, what if Cam Ward comes in and he's really good, right? I mean, that's part of, like, if you're the Titans looking at this, and Charles brought this up too. Like, you're looking at what Stroud did in year one. You're looking at what Washington did, and Washington's probably the better example, Joe, right? Because we've talked about the Stroud part of this. Like, I think that roster with Houston, with how bad they were for several years prior to that and the picks that they stockpiled, the roster for Houston with the offseason they had with Stroud coming in, I think that team was a little bit better than we probably thought coming into that season, just in terms of a talent standpoint. Like, Washington revamped their team in one offseason, and they signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals, and then Daniels came in and immediately was ready to go and was good. So, Charles talked about that yesterday, like, think about having that conversation about Washington a year ago and what that would look like and what our reaction would be if we talked about now Washington being a destination where people want to go play, and that, like, they were able to change the perception of their organization basically in a year. Like, that's what they've done. Like, that's what a high-level quarterback can do for you. Like, if it works out the way you hope, Joe, like, that's what a high-level quarterback does for you in this league. You can change things immediately.
Yes. And, there are some things they had in place already the Titans don't have with their roster. They did have some good talent on D and some good talent at receiver.
Yeah.
That I think that, which is really just from years of being bad. And then, again, we talked about a lot of the kind of plan B free agents that they load up on, and got a lot of good play out of them for cheap. So it was, but yeah, mostly it comes down to the QB just being special. So, of course, if you get that, then one, you might win more than everybody thinks. And then also, it just completely changes the feeling around that. But, you've had Stroud the year before. You had Daniels last year. You look around, that's still, look at all the other rookies who have been drafted. It's varying degrees of not nearly that good. And in some cases, bad. You've got the guy was convinced he's going to be great, who now starting to look better, Bryce Young, who's basically been to the bottom, discarded, and now trying to fight his way back. I mean, more, there's still way more failure stories than success stories.
Jared on YouTube says, Joe, that it's time for you to give up the Shadur hope for the Titans. That it ain't happening.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, again, I'm not changing that I would pick Shadur over Cam Ward, okay? But I think that that's probably fair. I mean, obviously, the we listened to Charles yesterday. Cam, golf, Shadur, smaller golf, everyone else. Someone on the text line thinks they're going to go. Shane says they're going to go Dart. Now, that would be an all-time shocker. Yeah, Jackson Dart, number one. That would be all-timer of a shocker right there.
Cam, you just take a seat, buddy. You're not going at number one overall. Here's Jackson Dart. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Cam Ward front. We'll do that. We also will get into the hunt for wide receivers that, at this point, may be challenging for the Titans to pull off heading into next year. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game. 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a pair of tickets to give away to see Aziz Ansari at the Ryman Auditorium on Thursday, March the 20th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Aziz Ansari at the Ryman Auditorium on March the 20th. Taking your thought on Cam Ward and the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Ben on the text line, Joe, throwing it out there that why would you take Cam Ward right now? You could wait around, and the odds are you're going to get in the top 10 next year, and you can get the quarterback that's way better next year. One thing that I did find interesting on the I told you earlier in the show, Joe, I was listening to PK's podcast that he was doing yesterday, and he did say that he had a scout tell him, or a personnel member from an organization in the NFL tell him, that he would take Arch Manning over Cam Ward right now, without Arch Manning having started a game in Texas, or at least a meaningful game at Texas. He'd take him right now.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, this is almost rant worthy. Okay, we've talked about it before. I mean, PK and I have yelled at each other. I said to Ben, so who are the top guys? So he sent me a thing. This is like a, I don't know, this is from somebody's draft board of like, I don't know what the numbers mean, but the four names are Malachi Nelson at UTEP, Lenora Sellers, who's a very fun college quarterback at South Carolina, Nico. Right now, Robbie, you have the number one pick.
Yeah,
taking Nico or Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. Like, Nico needs to take a huge step next year.
Huge step. I mean, I can see it. There's talent.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on it. But yeah,
no, but no, not right now. My God, no. Arch Manning, that's fine. And some people are enamored with him. He's a great athlete. He can certainly run better than his uncles. He's got the talent. So far, we've seen him look like a young quarterback. He couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers. He's young, so I'm not using that to question whether he'll end up being a great player. But we're going to see this year. And also, as we've talked about a million times, they've said he's staying 4 years at Texas. Obviously, there's no urgent financial situation where he would need to go to the NFL. And I'm sure that the financial situation is pretty good playing for Texas.
Probably so.
So I'm not even counting him next year. I'm, one, waiting to see if he's great. We'll see.
Yeah.
I know he has a great last name, and he's talented. Do you know how many talented quarterbacks in college football don't materialize as top NFL prospects, let alone NFL players?
Yeah.
Nico, no, wait. What, Nico, we'll see. Talent, yes. Tons of work to do. Lenora Sellers, incredible all-around athlete. I think he's a Heisman guy this year. Is he a pro, an NFL? I don't know. Again, the idea that next year is a way better quarterback class is insane to me. It may end up that way. But right now, with what we know, again, go back 2 years ago, we knew Caleb Williams, who had just won a Heisman, was going to go at the top of the draft. We knew Drake May was going to go at the top of the draft. Didn't know yet that Jaden Daniels was going to do what he did. And that's the thing. Next year, I'm sure there will be a Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
But right now, there is nobody close within universes, galaxies of Caleb Williams and Drake May from 2 years ago. I can't understand why people keep doing this. Can we just replay this at 7:45? I'm now pissed off.
Well, there's that. And there's all, like, there are some guys that may get there, right? Like you've named off some of them. You know, some people will say, what about Drew Aller? What about Nussmeier from LSU? By the way,
those guys should be mentioned. Those guys both should be mentioned.
They should, but also both of those guys had the ability to come out this year in this year's draft, and they did not do it. Like, so it kind of goes to show you that they feel like there's more work there left to be done. Again, look, we may end up this time next year, Joe, on March the 14th. Maybe the Titans have already drafted Cam Ward, and it doesn't really matter from their perspective, but we could be talking about, like, man, Lenora Sellers is a very highly rated draft prospect. Drew out. Like, this quarterback class is unbelievable. That could happen. But, like, to act like we know that now, a year out, this is not the class next year where we know that.
No. And here's the example the other way, right? Like, we knew Caleb Williams and Drake May, and basically they lived up to it. And, you know, again, we're going to see in the NFL – if they're going to live up to it. I mean, right now I'd hitch my wagon to Jaden Daniels over either of those two guys, right?
Yeah.
But let's go the other way, because a year ago and even early in the season last year, Carson Beck is a top 10 pick. Carson Beck is going to be at the top of the draft. Well, Carson Beck now is at Miami getting his car stolen. Because,
by the way, put him on the list for next year too. I forgot about him.
Yeah. I mean, sure, you know, he's a prospect, but obviously the league – Karski's talking about his scout, talking about, you know, Arch. Great. You know how many people in the league thought Carson Beck was going to be that guy? And then they watched him play last year, like, oh, no, he's not that guy.
Right.
It just, we don't know. And so, but right now, to actually declare that next year's quarterback class is better is insane. And, again, even Karski has kind of uttered that, and it's like you do not have a known commodity to be able to say that about.
No, you don't. Now, I will say, like, I think there are more guys.
More possibilities.
Who could grow into that. Like, there are more possibilities that could happen. But, again, I don't know. Like, first off, like, we mentioned, let's take Nico. Nico has a ton of work to do. Like, I thought Nico basically from the second half of the Alabama game last year onward got better and looked good. He's still a long way away from being like a surefire first-round draft pick, right? Like, he's much less like number one, top five guy. But he's got a lot of physical abilities. He's got a lot of things that you feel great about. But there's a lot that he's still got that's left to learn. Arch Manning? I don't know. Like, Arch Manning got in, and he started some games against some crap-bump teams when Quinn Ewers was hurt. And then he got in and basically was a wildcat guy. Beyond that, he's going to be the starter this year. Look, I like Arch Manning. I think he's probably going to end up being really good, but I don't know that. I'd like to see him start some games at quarterback before we come away with that conclusion. And I'm with you. I would be stunned if he comes out next year, because that's really not the way they operate. They stay at school all 4 years, and I think that's what he's going to do.
Player's going to improve. I expect him to improve. But they were so bad when Georgia was kicking their butt at home that Steve Sarkisian – said, all right, Carson, all right, Quinn Ewers, you're out. Arch, get in there. And he was so bad, he's like, crap, I got to go back to Quinn Ewers. And he went back to him for the rest of the year. You got to like, obviously, I mean, you can't have better advisors, you know, in your family. He's got the physical tools. But, yeah, we just don't know.
Yeah, like, and I would guess that he's going to be really good, but I don't know that.
Right. And, again, we knew – at different times, look, you can go back in other classes too. Like at this time, going into the next fall, Trevor Lawrence,
really,
Joe Burrow is kind of like Jaden Daniels. Like he took things by storm during that fall, and there could be somebody we're not talking about right now who could all of a sudden be Joe Burrow wasn't being talked about in March of 2019 about being a first round pick, let alone top pick. So that could happen too, but you don't know it'll happen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans to get to. Plus, if they do draft Cam Ward at number one overall, who in the world is he throwing the ball to this year? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.